I'm going to be reading Numbers, 21st chapter. It says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Then we're going to turn on over, I believe it's the third chapter of John. It says in the third chapter of the book of John in the 14th verse, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John here is pointing out the picture that we see all the way back there in Numbers. We know, I believe it was Hezekiah, years later, destroyed the brazen serpent because there were those that began to offer incense unto it. But John here, I wanted to proclaim, or Jesus Christ rather, wanted to proclaim through the book of John that the Son of Man must be lifted up like a serpent in the wilderness. And if the Lord would allow us, let us just think about that for a moment, of the instance in which we find here the children of Israel murmured against God. If you was to turn back there, you could find that it says that they blamed God and they blamed Moses. And they were somewhat dissatisfied at the situation that they were in. And I find that today that mankind has not changed very much from what it was like so many years ago. A lot of times I think the Hebrew people, that the children of Israel get people read and the account of in the wilderness, and they think how foolish for them to do such as that. But it said the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And then the people spake against God. And in our discouragement a lot of times, I think that's what we might do. But don't you find it interesting that the Lord would have Moses to build, to make a brazen serpent? These people had complained against God and against Moses, and he sent amongst them fiery serpents to bite them. Then, when they seen their need to repent, they come and they ran to Moses and they said, "Moses, we are sorry. We have sinned against God and we sinned against thee. Might you pray that the Lord would remove these serpents?" And God Himself, what He done was, is He told Moses, He said, "Make you a serpent, and put it on a pole." And then Jesus Christ come and He said that the Son of Man must be lifted up like that serpent in the wilderness. And I think about that today, and I think there's more of a picture there than that. Jesus Christ was a picture when Moses lifted up that serpent on the pole. That I think about it now, the children of Israel recoiled and run away from the fiery serpent, but yet it was an image of the fiery serpent that was able to give them life. You would have thought maybe that it had been a mongoose, it had been a weasel or something that was a picture of what would destroy a fiery serpent. But it was an image of the very thing that was taking their life. But we really, if we get a little deeper, that was not the thing that was taking their life, was it? It was their rebellion. It was their ingratitude toward God. It was in their discouragement that they turned to God and Moses and said, "Well, look, oh, where you left us. We're out here in the wilderness." And the Bible said God sent a fiery serpent. Well, today we are to lift Jesus Christ up to a world. And when they see the image of that Savior, I'm afraid they're a lot like the children of Israel, that they recoil, that they run away from the very thing that will save them. Those that seen the fiery serpent in their tent and it bit them on their foot or maybe on their child, the only thing that would save them was to go out and to look at that thing, the very one they cursed, the very one they hated, the very one they despised in their anger, and said, "What has God done to me? What has Moses done for me?" It's the very one they had to go and look at that which he put up on a pole, and it was the thing that bit them. I wonder how many people died right in their tent and said, "I'll not go and look at the thing that's destroying to me." But I want to tell you today, people are running from Jesus, the one that has been raised up, the one that the Bible said will, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. But we find out that so many people would rather run from that thing that would save them and still bow their knee to it. I wonder how many today, if a serpent came through the community, it would bit them on the leg, that they would die there in their rebellion, in their iniquity. It's just as some children, all you had to do was tell them to do something, and that'll make them not want to do it. Is that the way we are today? Well, I'm thankful that Darrell seen that the one he run from, the one that brought him pain and anguish to my heart, the one that I blamed for so many things in my life, when I seen him for who he was, the Savior on the cross, that I could look to him, that I could put my trust in him and realize I didn't need to run from the fiery serpent anymore. That it was my iniquity and my rebellion that was killing me, and that Jesus had made a way, and he made it through the blood that was shed on Calvary. Are you today running from the very thing that'll save you? I realized when I was in sin that the harder I ran from God, the closer I came to hell. But I'm thankful that is there, it is wrote in the book of John, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men." As Moses was lifted up, I lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, there's some today that will see the healing in that serpent on the rod, but yet they do not want to get close to it. It's just sufficient if they could just to walk out of the door of their tent and see it on the hill. That'd be good enough. I've seen it. I don't thank God. Now I can have life. But if you look at Jesus Christ as that serpent and you don't want to get close to him, I'm afraid you're missing out on what gives a Christian his joy. I can tell you right today, I'm not satisfied to see him off on a hill far away. I'm not satisfied to go to a church where I can see a cross on the wall and his image being there. But I serve a resurrected Lord. I serve one that not only died, but he raised the third day. But listen, he brings life to those that would look to him. I need not fear the fiery serpent anymore. Oh, why? Because I serve a God that will not turn on his children. Listen to me. The children of Israel turned on God and turned on Moses. Aren't you glad that God himself never turned on those that looked to him in the middle of the wilderness and said, you are my God, you are my redemption, you are my salvation, you are my high tower in the time of trouble, you are my fifth city, you are much more than any chariot of a many of mighty nation. I'd rather dwell in the wilderness amongst the stones and the thorns as to dwell in the safety of a city in the absence of God. I'd rather dwell amongst the fiery serpents as long as I have one that I can look to and realize that no harm will come to me as long as I trust in his name. Can you say that? Can you truly say that you've done more than look to him, but that you took him to yourself? The world has looked from afar off and they've seen the ways of Christ, but yet not to their saving. Why? Because they've not put their trust in an almighty God. They're still yet hoping for this. They're hoping for that. After all, they don't want to put their eggs in one basket. It was a wise man. I believe it was Mark Twain that he said, for he instructed that we put all of our eggs in one basket and watch it close. People look at salvation, or look at religion rather, as putting their eggs in one basket. But I want to tell you today, I don't know how many children the Lord will bless me with, but one thing I know, I want every one of them to be under that hen. That was how often he had gathered us as a hen under brood. I want them to be under the wing of God, to be under his in his full of safety. These all are wonderful pictures, but if you don't open up your eyes and your heart, you'll never see them.
You,
I was reading that and thinking about that. Why an image of the very thing that had went through the nation of Israel there in the wilderness, that it went through the children of Israel, and as it would seem to have to take their life. You know, that's what the world does even yet today. They're blaming, they blame God for their circumstances. How many in their bitterness blame God for sending the fiery serpents? There was those that come to Moses and said, Moses, We have sinned against God and against you. In their necessity and their tragedy, they realized that they were no longer in control. To complain and to blame others and their discouragement led to their to something that was much greater than eating that manna. I think it's interesting how when they complained, they said that we have no bread or no water except for this light bread. Even in their own statement, they said, God, you ain't provided for me except for what you gave me. How many of us today have said the same thing? Well, you didn't send what I thought was necessary. You didn't send what, well, you sent it in a way that I didn't approve of it. Well, I want to tell you today, His light bread is good enough. We raise up as the children of Israel. We got to understand that the very thing that we hate is the very thing that's going to save us. The very thing that we recall from is the very thing that will give us life. So then, God in the wilderness did not want them to look upon a graven image. He didn't want them to see that there was this mighty serpent that they had yet heard of that would bring them life. But He was wanting to show them that the very thing they despised was the only thing that would save them. Meaning God Himself. He was the only one that could supply their needs in the wilderness. He was the only one that could cause the water to flow from the rock. And I'm thankful He is still yet today the only one that can supply Daryl's needs. I can look to others. I can look to the government. I can look to my job. I can look to my neighbors. I can look to this one and to that one. And though they might supply my needs wonderfully, if I don't recognize God for who He is, if I am satisfied with eating the food in Egypt, I'll never make it to the promised land. But I'm thankful that if we say, yes, Lord, I'll eat your manna for 40 years. And it means that I can taste of the grace that would take two men to carry. If it means eating the manna and the quail for 40 years, the taste of the sweetness of the honeycomb, when I cross Jordan's river, listen to me, though it might be bland in your mouth today, I'm thankful God has made a way. But are you still yet craving the cucumbers that are in the land of Egypt? Think about it, cucumbers. You can't live off of them. They got what they call burtless cucumbers now, but I don't imagine they had them then. And they were craving the very thing that no doubt gave some of them indigestion. How many of us have been around those that are looking for the old buzzer to go off at work? Why? Because they're craving the very thing that's destroying their life. They run to the sin that is slowly killing them, and they run from God and not realize that the fiery serpent is only a picture of Jesus Christ, and He can be lifted up, or He can be of the thing that will bring destruction. We know that Jesus Christ came to save man. But the Bible also tells us, you can read it in Revelations as well as elsewhere, I believe it's mentioned in Isaiah, that Jesus Christ is coming, and He can be your Savior, or He can be your judge. He can be your deliverer, or He can be your damnation. It's entirely up to us. Aren't you glad that He didn't leave it up to our neighbor? Aren't you glad that He didn't leave it up to my father?
my earthly father. Aren't you glad he didn't leave it up to a cousin? But the Bible says that it's not far off. That it's not too high that we could not attain it. It's not over the sea that we might not reach it. But he's brought it to each and everyone's heart's door. So what will you do with it? Will you lay there in your tent and die from the poison and blame God for it? Or will you recognize it for what it is? Your ingratitude, your disobedience, and your disdain for what God has brought you and given you. Let's get some song to sing. What would you have to eat in the wilderness? If there was a poll taken there that day, wonder how many would have said manna.
Just as I am without one thing,
I'm tired of what I've got. Let's take a vote on it. Are you tired of the manna? Let's take a vote on it. Let's see what we would rather have. How many of you would do you imagine would have said, I want manna? Say very few of us. Here we are around the Thanksgiving holiday. I've heard people speak about looking forward to that turkey meal. But you know, come this week, you're going to hear some men, some women no doubt, complaining about all those turkey leftovers. Something that they look forward to, and then yet they find themselves wishing that it was gone. It's just the nature of man. But in our disappointment, let us not turn our frustrations toward the very one that's feeding us, God Himself. Let's be careful that when we are discouraged because of the way, that we unbeknownly in our hearts somewhat blame God for the one that feeds us is the one that one day, if we repent not of our sin, will destroy us. That's not a picture too commonly spoken of, but yet a very vivid picture that needs to be maybe meditated upon. Not that, oh no, my God will one day destroy you. No, if He is your God, you will look up to Him and see Him for what He is. And if He is your God, you will be content to follow Him wherever He would lead you.